You're listening to Life After Shift, a podcast about raising a family on a shift schedule. Your host, Ray Waliani, a firefighter paramedic who works 48-hour shifts, and Carolyn Waliani, who is a labor and delivery nurse working 12-hour shifts. Together, they are raising three children aged 3 to 11 and run a side business selling clothing. This is the good, the bad, the ugly, the shift life.
Welcome to episode 6 of Life After Shift. This week has been an interesting one.
Hey guys, that was Carolyn talking, and I'm Ray. Figure we get the introduction in case you're just joining us for your first episode.
Yes, so this week we have stayed home for the past, 8 days? For the past 8 days.
8 days.
Ray and I have been home both together the entire time.
The same time, yep.
Not leaving the house.
With the kids.
All three.
It has been an interesting week, to say the least. We've all been sick. As you can hear in the last couple episodes of the podcast, I had like a hoarse voice and felt kind of sick and had a cough, not as bad of a cough as the kids, but Yeah, it's kind of ran through the whole house. We've all had fevers. We all had coughs at one point in time, sore throats.
So last Wednesday, we took Walter in after calling his pediatrician because he had a cough and he was 102 fever. We called his pediatrician and they said, you need to take him to urgent care. We can't see him here. So Ray took him to urgent care.
All the way in Gig Harbor.
Because it had a...
I guess the one near us, they were a skeleton crew at the urgent care. And they had a big old sign saying, hey, we'll come to your car and bring you a mask if you think you have it. Call this number from your car. When I called, like, yeah, we're not there. So just drive over to Lakewood or... So at that point, we went with the pediatrician's recommendation of going to Gig Harbor.
Right. Gig Harbor is like a smaller town that's just like, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes away from us. But you do have to cross a toll bridge to get there. Anyway, so he took Walter over there. They did some flu swabs. Those came back negative because it only takes like 15 minutes to get a flu swab.
But it took 15 days. No, it took 7 days to get results.
For the COVID swab. They did a chest x-ray, which turned out fine. He did not have pneumonia. So that's why they did the COVID swab. And yeah, we're pretty sure that we all got it. And we all showed symptoms slightly different.
Slightly different than each other, but still pretty common for what they call is the COVID-19. Basically fever and cough. I don't know of anyone that really had the shortness of breath other than Walter, who was wheezing, but it wasn't like he was speaking in, you know, 2, 3, 4 word sentences and having to catch his breath.
No.
However, I feel like all the kids are having shortness of breath with all the coughing they're doing. They can't breathe.
Yeah. The two younger kids have the worst cough. Walter did require a breathing treatment at urgent care. Just for his wheezing and try to open up his airway a little bit. But both Walter and Mina are like coughing so hard and so much that they gag and throw up. So that's been real fun.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how many times we've given Mina a bath to get the puke out of her hair.
And I had to clean up puke off the carpet a couple times, too.
Ugh. And of all that, we were pretty sure we had it. So even as symptoms were showing for the kids, we kind of self-isolated with our job because we're supposed to still go to work, even though everyone else is supposed to stay home now with our jobs. But due to the fact that the kids were sick and we were pretty sure that they had it, and we still do think that they have it, we stayed home and then we started having symptoms. Luckily, we already staying home, though, but... Mm-hmm. With those symptoms and the test that came back or Walter came back negative for this COVID coronavirus, but we're still pretty, it's hard to say. I mean, I understand that there is so many different illnesses and viruses going around at the same time, where it's you have the flu going around this time, colds, H1N1 type of flu, all the different types of stuff that have the same exact symptoms. And it's amazing that what we have or what he has is not what's, you know, the COVID-19, but there are also reports of false negatives going around too.
Right. And I think the test itself, I've heard rumors that it's only like 70% accurate. Then I heard other people say that it's like 97% accurate. So I don't really know which study to believe. But what I do believe is that there is a lot of problems with the collection itself. You know, trying to stick that Q-tip up a five-year-old's nose is not the easiest thing to do. And you really got to get it back there.
Yeah, this is, I feel like it looked like it might be deeper than the actual flu swab itself, which
yeah,
already feels like they're swabbing your brain, even though they're not going in that direction. But it feels bad enough. And then this is supposed to be even deeper for 5 seconds each nostril. So right. You're getting it times two. And so, poor Walter got it times three because he got the flu test and the two swabs for the COVID.
Right. So I just think that the error rate for his test was probably increased because, you know, he's only five. He was squirming. He was fighting. He didn't feel good.
And he kind of, you know, having pushed back and kind of moving his head, and they may not have gotten far enough. Although they did get far enough in one nostril where they actually, maybe not far enough, but enough to where he bled because they scraped it. And
right.
He had a full, like, Q-tip looked like it dipped in red paint.
And that's another thing. Like, who knows if blood skewed the sample?
Yeah, and it's not like they individually put each swab in a different container. They put it together in one.
Correct. Those are the reasons why I think maybe that his swab may have been a false negative. Not because I don't totally rely on the test, but I just don't rely on the collection.
Yeah, and you know, there's all kinds of situations and all.
It's hard. It's not an easy test to do. It's not an easy swab to do. And it's new. So, you know, the nurses that are trying to do this swab, they may be unsure of what they're doing and may not be doing it correctly.
And I mean, understand that, you know, whatever the test comes back, we're going to quarantine. No treatment's going to really be done or needed, other than staying home and distancing ourselves. But our biggest concern was if he does have it, because he was the only one with symptoms at the time, other than my back, possibly kidney problem. But knowing that, hey, you know, if this test came back positive, knowing that the virus is in our house, it would help us make a decision of staying, cleaning and disinfecting, quarantining to keep away from going back to work so mm-hmm. we don't spread it to the public.
Right. I would hate to be the one that spread the virus to a mom and her newborn baby. That would be just so sad.
Yeah. And so it's a tough decision. And, you know, our bosses and people, managers, leaders, they all have to run a business, you know, whether it's, you know, at the fire station, at the hospital. Even if it's healthcare, it's still considered a business in a way, and the managers have to keep it running. And unless we come back positive, you know, they're like, yeah, it's fine. Come in, you're fine. But at the real, you know, overall, we got to think about, hey, you know, do we want to infect other people that are perfectly healthy that may, you know, react badly to this?
And not only infecting the public, I don't want to infect my coworkers either, because that's really not going to help our problem.
Exactly. So it was a concern. That's why we got tested. Otherwise, if it wasn't for that, we probably would not get tested. We would have just wrote it out. But again, without getting tested, you know, where do you get the numbers from saying how many people have it so we can actually have an accurate count of who has this, how fast is it spreading,
mm-hmm.
versus how, and then how deadly it's getting? Because all we're getting is deadly numbers.
Right.
Or numbers of people that are serious enough to be tested, but we don't know the other half of it.
Right. So the little kids both had a cough and fever, and then Avery had GI symptoms.
Which I think at one point we all kind of cycled through the GI, at least for one day.
Yeah, but his was like several days, and that was like the only thing he had for several days.
Yeah, that was his
just
first,
GI symptoms. He didn't have a cough. He didn't have a fever. He just had GI symptoms for a couple, like what, 3-4 days?
Yeah, and for me, it started off with a hoarseness of my throat. Felt like I had a sore throat, like mild. It wasn't like strep throat where it hurt really bad to swallow, but it was just kind of like,
it felt like you slept with your mouth open.
Yeah, with your mouth open and it's dried and cracked a little bit. And it felt like that in the first couple days to come. And then I developed a cough. And this is all probably a week and a half prior to the start of all this. And at the same time, the kids started coughing too around there. And it just kind of, for me, the sore throat and the cough. And then what happened was once Walter got pretty bad, then I had that back pain, which I like felt like it was muscle flank pain. But you brought up the point that it was right over my kidney, which the muscle could have been rubbing or irritating the kidney or something to where.
Or the virus could have been attacking your kidneys.
Itself, yeah. And giving it. Because I tried talking to the urgent care. They're like, nah, you don't have a kidney infection. It doesn't hurt when you urinate, then you don't have it. Well, so it's hard to describe or what they were thinking. It might not be what was actually going on with my kidneys. Or So either way, between all that, I was fine after that. And once that went away, it was good after like two, 3 days.
Oh, and you
days.
Had an ear infection.
Yeah, 2-3 days. And then also the top of that, I had an ear infection. With to not, you know, if I didn't want to complicate it. And then the fever came. And that lasted a couple days, but it cycled between 99 and 101. I think the highest was about close to 101, but the lowest was, you know, 99, 98 for once I started feeling it. But again, not as bad of where I was laid up in bed or anything like that. Where some people are getting laid up in bed because they're getting hit by this, so it's hard to tell exactly what this was.
I know, it was really weird. I didn't have a fever, like a technical fever, 100.4. I was just running in the 99s, 99.6, 99.4, which is not normal for me. And I felt hot, like my eyeballs felt hot. And I had a headache. And I had really bad fatigue. I was like taking a nap in the middle of the day, which is not normal for me. So,
which I didn't notice that because you were busy staying quarantined and trying to clean up and fold clothes and do all kinds of things. So maybe when I thought you were up there folding, you took a nap. I don't know.
I did.
But every time I came up there, you were folding or doing some kind of.
I had this like guilt of like, if you're not at work, then you need to be working. Like you need to be working at home. So.
And that was a common thing for a lot of people I've been noticing on Facebook and other places about quarantine, saying, you know what? It's okay to feel guilty. It's okay to, this is not, you're staying at home for no reason doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, stay home and, you know, rest and things like that.
Which I tried to do, but, you know, I did have that guilt, so.
But that's, it was the hardest thing for a lot of people that I read was just staying at home and not doing something productive.
Right. So I went through all the kids' clothes and pulled out all the ones that were too small or that we didn't need and, you know, refolded all of their clothes in their dressers.
Yeah. So I mean
it makes me feel better
overall. I think we're starting to feel better and kind of on the other side of this and starting to get. I know Avery is the last one. He was the first one to have, you know, the weird symptom and just the GI, and that was it. And he was kind of late in developing all the other symptoms, which he was a big help with Walter after for a little bit with that.
Yeah,
and then now he's got the symptoms, and I think he's about wearing it off now.
Yeah.
Where the only thing left is just a cough amongst a couple kids. And we're on the tail end of this. And back to work for me tomorrow. And then, between that and I have coworkers that I work with closely that are awaiting tests that have, you know, symptoms as well. So depending on that test would tell me, you know, if that comes back positive, that'll say, hey, you know what, if he came back positive and he had the same symptoms as me, despite, you know, the kids testing negative, could have been whatever. That if that comes back positive, then that's a good indication that we did have it.
Yeah.
But we've been, at least I've been fever free for about 72 hours now, so.
Yeah.
This is day 3, so it'll be good to go back tomorrow.
I've still been running 99.1,
99.4 all day. Yeah. And amongst all this chaos, we had the countdown to our trip to Paris in under 50 days. It's like 54 days until we left.
What are you going to do with your calendar at work that you roll all the days on?
I'm just going to have to exit out and restart the number. Add a 1 in front of it. Because, yeah, so we basically, we haven't been told we couldn't go yet. But I guess based on, you know, everything that's going on, and Carolyn really wants to push back 42 days. Huh? But Carolyn would feel more comfortable if we pushed it back because of everything that's going on and all over the world, you know, the uncertainty of what is going to happen next, you know, not wanting to go to another country and getting stuck out there or having symptoms. And I was kind of hopeful. I was like, hey, you know, if we have the coronavirus now and we get done with it, then we can go later and not have to worry as much unless, you know, it mutates, but have getting it again. But yeah. She brought up a point, too, as if we're going to be in a lockdown. If we're going to be in a lockdown and it's in another country all over the place, you know, what fun is it going when everything's closed?
Right. At first, I was like, oh, it won't be that bad. Like, you know, okay, the catacombs and the Louvre are closed. Like, whatever, we've been there, done that. We're going for the food.
Yeah.
But then...
And they started closing restaurants.
Yeah, all the restaurants are closed. Like, oh, man.
And that means the crepe places will be closed.
Yeah.
And all the cheese. And all the wine.
Well, I think that's... I mean, there's
still... Everything's to go still. So, I mean, yeah, you'd be able to get cheese and wine to go. But it's just not the same.
It's not the same.
I want to go back to a cafe.
Right.
Just sit there and watch people for like a whole day straight.
I want to go on a tour again. I like the food tours.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad.
The walking ones.
So we went ahead and we figured tough to wait till next year around the same time, which ideally that's what Carolyn wanted to do because she wanted Monet's garden.
Yeah, I wanted to go next spring would be my first choice.
But since our next backup and our voucher being able to push her flight back, we picked September, which we went ahead and changed. I went ahead and changed that flight, and that was a pain in the ass.
Ray has so much patience with other people.
Yes, not with my kids or my wife, but I have patience with other people. It's part of the job. And I had patience with Carolyn for the longest time until we got married. And it kind of went with the territory. You get married, you lose patience.
That's true. It's fine.
And you have kids, you lose patience. But I had patience with these people, but I had the worst headache waiting. It went from an hour and a half wait on the phone with the person who was trying to give me vouchers for the date that we canceled. And then after about an hour and a half and I got the vouchers, I'm looking at the vouchers through the email, and they gave me less money than what we paid. So then I had to call back, and they had no idea what they did. The other person did, and asking, why did they give you vouchers? Why didn't they just move you? And a long story short, I finally got, after 4 hours, got the vouchers. I was told I can call from Air France. I was able to call Virgin Atlantic and call them directly, since that's what the flight was going through, and I can use the voucher with them. That way I can pay the upgrade for the more room, which wasn't much of money. And then when I called Virgin Atlantic, they were said, hey, nope, can't use other people's vouchers. So then I had to go back to Air France, and I rebooked it through them, which was fine, but I couldn't pay for the upgrade. So sad story. First world problems, I know. But anyways, we are going in September. I went ahead and changed our train ticket, and now I'm waiting Airbnb. Airbnb won't give us our money back just yet. We have to wait till they extend the period from April to May for the refunds.
Which is so annoying to me. Like, come on, guys. Stuff is not going to change in 42 days.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because they said they have a strict policy. And I don't know if that policy for the host is, do they get penalized by Airbnb for allowing the refund? once
why
they
would they get penalized if the customer is asking for a refund? Why would they be penalized?
I don't know, because I mean, I don't
know.
That
doesn't make any sense. That's like excellent customer service.
Yeah, but the rating, so, but the rating of it all too, because it says in the fine print if they choose not to cancel, or if they cancel the for you, cancel your at your request, we won't charge that. We won't give them a negative review for as a super host.
Right.
But that's only between those dates.
Yeah, up to April 16th.
So I think that's probably what they're worried about, their ratings. So they're going to wait. They said once the policy changes, if they're Airbnb, they have no problem giving it to us. But, you know, once that happens, they have no problem giving us. They have to give it to us.
Jerks.
So, yep. So slowly moving everything over to September.
Oh, my gosh. The headache of trying to find a new Airbnb.
Oh, my God. The headache of me trying to get leave for those days is going to be a pain. It's three shifts. I had the option of booking it for September 2nd or 3rd.
Uh-huh.
But that would have been my parents' anniversary, and my mom would have been pretty mad. Plus, I know that is Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And with that being Labor Day weekend.
Do other countries celebrate Labor Day?
No. It's not a... I don't think they have the union movement stuff.
For some reason, you didn't want to book Labor Day.
I did book on Labor Day.
Oh.
We leave on Labor Day.
Oh, okay.
So, no, I don't know if other countries do Labor Day. Because it's a union thing, and I don't know. I mean, there are unions across the world, and France is a union. But whether they have their own Labor Day, I'm not sure.
It's probably like a different day.
Yeah, it feels like kind of like Independence Day.
Right.
Where it might be a different day celebrated. But, no, I didn't want to do Labor Day. We booked it on Labor Day, but prior to Labor Day was more of the fact that there's a lot of people on leave within my department for the three-day weekend. And that would make it harder for me to get those shifts off. But so if we leave on Labor Day itself, I'm on four-day, and then after that I go back to work. But that shift there, I might be able to get spot leave to where... It's going to be a pain because every time we go to Paris, my leave, for whatever reason, is an issue. Up.
I know.
And I have to get coverage of trade. And this year, I was like, you know what? I got all the leave I needed for what days I want. They will not be an issue. Not this year.
Okay, so what's the dates?
September 7th through 22nd. So I have three shifts I have to get covered or traded. Or see if I can get leave for those days. So that'll be another interesting thing.
I have six shifts.
But all the ones that you have now, you can...
Well, I can move that one. No, five shifts.
So the people that are covering you for this next thing, you can maybe have them cover you in September instead.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do that day, they don't have any other plans. But
yeah. If I work the day before we leave...
Which I'd be working too, but we would just have to pack.
Yeah.
Because we leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So oh, okay. So that would be all right.
Yeah.
So then maybe I only need four. That's not that bad.
Okay. And that's depending on, if they're not going to be moving stuff or move your schedule to the month prior or whatever to go around my schedule.
Yeah. I mean, as long as I'm on a variable schedule still.
Yeah, and you can request those days. Just tell them that I'm working. Those are the days that I'm working, and you need to be home on those days. But then they'll put you on a different day.
The only thing is that we're gone that whole week of...
The whole paycheck would be...
The 13th through the 19th, that whole week, we're gone. So I can't move my shifts anywhere within that week.
Yeah, so some challenges, but... We'll see. It wouldn't be too bad. My dad's going to be retired by then, so he doesn't care what day we go. As long as it's after the 3rd.
You know, our leave at my work was due March 1st, was like vacation requests.
And you didn't put any in because we had ours set, huh?
Yeah, of course I didn't put any in for these random September dates that we just came up with today.
I know.
So it goes by seniority when you put them in before March 1st, which I'm pretty high up. On the sorority seniority
but
list. So
But you didn't put any of these dates. So, yeah. So now everyone after you is going to be putting in. Hopefully not for September, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's like random. So hopefully.
Maybe they'll let you. No, see, that's, you're in the same boat I am, because I'll say maybe they'll let you repick since your picked leave that you were doing.
Yeah, no, they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, is ruined by COVID. And so it's they like don't same care. Thing. Well, everyone else was good except for this period of month. They're not going to accommodate all of us to change our schedule just because of COVID.
That would be nice.
It's a pandemic. Work with the people that have leave, but they're not going to do overtime. Because it's going to cause people to do overtime, and they're not going to want to pay the overtime.
We'll get it figured out.
So it works.
So this week, Mina has virtual ballet class tomorrow. So that'll be fun to see. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. I tried to like warm her up with some troll yoga today. It was yoga led by Poppy the Troll. And she was into it for about 45 seconds. And then she was off playing Play-Doh. So I don't know how it's going to work for a ballet tomorrow. Maybe she'll be more into it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. I just can't picture it because it's very interactive with...
I mean, she has trouble paying attention to the teacher while she's in the class.
Yeah, she's all about the butterflies and the flowers. picking flowers, catching butterflies.
She just starts spinning around in circles while the teacher's trying to teach her choreography.
Yeah. And so. I don't know how she's going to handle a teleconference.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch her try to do tomorrow.
She's, there's your teacher on TV. Now, do what now, are they going to be watching her?
No.
So it's just everyone just watching the teacher.
Yes.
So we don't need a camera to watch Mina. No. So you could put it on the big screen. I guess, do the Zoom on your... Did I send you the email?
No.
Okay, I'll forward that to you with the login. But Zoom, and then just share the screen to the Apple TV on the big screen.
Okay.
And then she can just dance around in her room. Now the bet is she gonna be wearing clothes or her tutu and stuff, or she's gonna be in her underwear?
Yeah, I'll get her dressed. I'll get her dressed and put her hair up in her bun.
Then she can feel, maybe she'll take it more seriously.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. And of course the boys, and Mina's swim classes are all canceled for the foreseeable future, which is a real bummer.
Do you think Walter's gonna take part in the ballet?
Oh, maybe. He's been asking me to, he wants to go to ballet too,
He wants to do it. Him and his sister are inseparable. They have to do everything in competition in the same.
I love his new thing of showing us ninja skills.
Oh yeah, he is Bruce Lee, just bouncing around.
But he calls it Ninja Turtles.
It's Hai-cha.
Yeah, so fun. Easy peasy.
Yeah, was it easy peasy? Easy as pie.
I have no idea where he learned those sayings. Neither one of us say easy peasy or easy as pie. We are not that cheesy.
Easy peasy, so much cheesy.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's his YouTube. Maybe Ryan.
Ryan's Toys.
Ryan's World. Ryan's Toys.
Yeah, maybe. So another thing that we're doing this week... we are running out of PPE at the hospital.
I thought you were going to say toilet paper. We better not be. They're out everywhere.
No, we're running out of surgical masks and N95s at the hospital. So a surgical mask that we would wear back to the operating room for like a C-section. Mm-hmm. Every time you leave the OR, you have to
change it out
is our normal rule. And now...
Is it part of the scrubbing? You got to soap it up?
No, I don't scrub in.
Oh, okay.
I'm a circulator.
So you don't have to be sterile.
No. So anyways, now we only get one mask assigned to us if we're going to the OR. And then we're given a brown paper bag to store it in if we need to use it later on.
Oh, That sounds sanitary.
And we keep just using it until it's soiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think you saw the same post and or thing as how they were taking the your bandanas or whatever and just throwing it over and one N95 and then just washing the cloth or washing the
to help bandana. Well, it's mostly just to help keep it from getting soiled.
Yeah.
Help make it last longer.
Yeah, so that I guess it, you've got that extra barrier, so that way you can just take.
But the I read this study that showed that the homemade cloth masks, they have like some of them were made with like a little insert piece so you could put a filter in, and like tea towel. I think it was like it must have been a British study because it kept saying tea towel, which I'm pretty sure is what we call a dish towel here in the U.S. Unless there's another mysterious towel that's called the tea towel I'm unaware of. I'm pretty sure they mean a dish towel.
Tea towel.
But a dish towel inserted in there was like 90% effective. So it's almost as effective as a surgical mask, which was like 98% effective. So that's pretty good, I feel like. Not too shabby for a homemade device. But I've also had, I posted on like one of my community groups about if you have any masks at your house to please bring them to my house so I can take them to the hospital. And I've had several people drop off N95 masks on my doorstep. So I have like at least a dozen or more N95 masks that I can bring to the hospital when I work on Friday. So that's pretty cool. It's pretty excited about that.
Yeah. And, you know, I know there people don't want to use them because they're not individually wrapped or boxes not sealed. But when you got no choice at that point, it's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and if other people don't want to use it, then you got a whole box to yourself.
I don't need a dozen N95s.
You do if you're going to be throwing them away after every use for every patient.
Yeah.
It'll be like, it's like the rich, it's like using toilet paper. Nah, I don't need this toilet paper. I got 20 others in my stock room, so I'm just going to throw this whole roll out in the trash and where people will start like fighting over it.
Yeah, for sure.
So tea towel. Yeah. I mean, I can't find a, I think I might have found, you probably did this and got the same website asking, Googling what's a tea towel?
No, I didn't Google it.
Oh, because basically they say word for word what you said, which is, so like the dining room doppelganger of the cloth napkin. Tea towels are a workhorse, if they've ever seen one.
So wait, so a tea towel is a dining room napkin?
Yeah, like kind of maybe like what you put on your lap, maybe.
Oh, so it's not what I thought it was.
But so they go on to say that a tea towel seems to be what I would term a dish towel. The difference between what this kind of dish towel and what a lot of people think is flat woven fabric made from linen.
No, so that is like a reusable cloth napkin.
Yeah.
Is what they're calling a tea towel. No?
Well, she says...
Because a dish towel is, like, bumpy.
Yeah, it's like the fabric. So, a tea... the person says, in quotes, a tea towel seems to be what I would term a dish towel. End quotes. But then it says, the difference between what the kind of dish towel and what kind of a lot of people think is a flat woven fabric and cotton. So,
I'm it's confused.
Definitely not a terry towel.
No.
Is what it says.
Right.
So, I don't know. This is just just one person's words. If you know what tea towel is, leave a comment or message or send us over on Facebook.
Enlighten us.
Yes. So, to give you some perspective of... No, just kidding.
Of our state?
Yes.
So in Washington State, there are currently 2,469 positive cases of COVID-19.
And 123 deaths in the state of Washington. Our county itself, Pierce County, which is just south of King County, where this all originated in the U.S., we've got, 138 cases as of today?
Mm-hmm.
And one death.
Did it start in King County or in Snohomish County?
It started in King County at that Life Center.
Oh, okay.
But
Snohomish.
Yeah, Snohomish. I believe Snohomish was the one guy that traveled and got it, and his wife was separate. I think the first death was in King County.
Oh. Oh, wait, it's in Bellevue. That Life Center was in Bellevue?
Renton or Bellevue? Kirkland. Okay. Kirkland.
Kirkland right. Is King County?
Yeah.
That just doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm. Kirkland's like near Renton.
Well, what's the cutoff between King and then Snohomish?
Snohomish is like Everett, north of Snohomish Seattle. Seattle's in King County.
Yeah, and then Snohomish is the one on top of King County. So I'm just wondering where the cutoff is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bellevue might even be Kitsap County, no?
No, Kitsap? Kitsap's left. Towards the water, east. Bellevue's you to mean the right. You're looking on the map, east? West. Kitsap is west. What are we talking about? Bellevue is east of Seattle.
All right.
But the cutoff for Snohomish is the Snohomish Inn.
Very informative. Thank you.
No problem. Maybe that's the city.
It's fine. I pulled up my own county map. Don't worry.
Okay. And still not using the iPad I gave you, which is much easier to see with no glasses.
I know. That was another bummer for me, too, because I finally went to the eye doctor to get new glasses, and now they're going to be closed. Like, I can't pick up my new prescription because the eye doctor's closed.
Oh, yeah. You think eye doctor, their doctor, some type of not really healthcare, eye care?
That's not care, essential.
Care, we all care.
If the chiropractor is not open, there's no way the eye doctor is open.
I think chiropractors are making like extreme cases, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess if you have an extreme eye case, maybe the eye doctor would be open.
No, well, there's optometrist versus eye doctor, ophthalmologist.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know which one I saw. Because they both can do the same job.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know if they specialize in eye emergencies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. I don't know which one I saw.
Yeah. The optometrist?
I'm not sure if I saw an optometrist or an ophthalmologist.
I don't know. But anyways, to answer your question, just north of Bellevue, continued past, just below Everett. It gives me no cities.
Linwood.
Is that King County or?
No.
Snohomish. So Linwood's like the first city in Snohomish?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
It's pretty close though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not too far off, but it's still, yeah, close by because Bellevue's not that far and Snohomish is pretty far from us.
Yeah.
But yeah, first case was in Kirkland. First death. And then that's when people started drawing attention to this once people started dying. Mm-hmm. But the first guy that came in was like a month prior from, was in like Everett or in that area. And then they said they didn't know how did it get into that Life Center care? Because, you know, obviously the people in there are not traveling around the world. But they said a sick worker that worked at multiple nursing homes worked while sick who had it and brought it in.
You can't really blame him, though, because he probably just had a mild case like we did. And where I'm like, oh, I'm kind of tired. I have this headache. I have this, like, light.
Prior to this incident or the COVID existing that we knew about, how many times do we go to work not feeling well because we really can't not go to work?
Right. If I just have like a simple cold, That's not terrible.
We still go. We don't call out sick unless, you know, we've got a fever.
Right.
And, yeah, so, I mean, how do they know? It's how do you know it's just not being exhausted?
Unless you're a nurse, you keep going to work until you lose a limb.
Yeah. Infecting everyone.
That's mostly how it works in nursing.
That's why you guys are always sick. No one's got leave. But, yeah, so... All right, well, I think we will end it on this note. We've ranted and raved about the COVID and the corona this week because that's all that's kind of been happening around us.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of how we spent our quarantine week.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully things will get better. We will see. We'll be back next week with more quarantine updates, I'm sure. Maybe we'll come up with some other things. And yeah.
If you'd like to hear any topics discussed, let us know.
Yeah, and you can contact us on our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, do a search for Life After Shift, and we should be one of the few few return searches from that or results. So join the page, post on there, or send us an email. You can send it to Ray or Carolyn at lifeaftershift.com.
We fancy. We got our own email.
We got our own domain. Yeah. So, yeah, send it over. Let us know what you guys want. If you want to be a guest and you have some information you want to contribute, let us know. I know there is this one website I am looking at. We may incorporate it next week. But it is a internet radio station. So, basically, while we're doing this and recording, we would also be broadcasting live using the player, and it would give us chances for people to call in. You can use your phone, you can use the internet, and you call the number, and it would show up on my dashboard screen, and we can patch you in just like a real radio station and have a real live caller and discussion about anything you guys want to talk about. So we could probably set that up simultaneously. Our only problem is we do this late at night when we try to get the kids in bed. So maybe late night radio with a little music.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, we'll talk to you later. We're about 40 minutes in, so it's a good time to stop. All right. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
Stay safe. Enjoy the quarantine. Don't go out.
Stay home.
Stay home unless you have to.
Order Instacart.
There's zombies out there. Stay home. Bye.